Shalom to all. Today's Daf Yerushalayim, Sachem Daf Samach Hey. We're starting almost precisely in the middle of the Daf, right after the two dots with the words Vakama Yishbar and Vilna Sura's Daf. It's on Nun Hey Amud Aleph, a little bit before the halfway mark. And today's Daf is sponsored by Lila Nishmas, Marsh Merim Zara Basim Yaakov Maisha, Her Nishama should have an Aliyah. So we learn in the Mishnah that if a person breaks a bone in the Karm Pesach, he's Chayiv. So like Marasa Kama Yishbar, how much does he have to break in order to be Chayiv? And on this, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Zaira, both Sim Shem Rabbi Yochanan, Agde Shtei Ayan Mechageres, as much as that will stop the hand, meaning if a person takes his hand or his finger and he runs it over the bone and the crack that was made into it is going to stop his finger from going, it's going to get caught in the groove, that's already enough to mechayev him. Now Rabbi Yon Amar, he says, there's actually a machlokes. Chad number one says, K'dei Shtei Yad Mechageres, what we just explained. V'chad Amar, the other one says, Afilu Tipayren, that it's not that the hand is going to be stopped, is that if he runs his fingernail across the bone and it gets caught inside the crack that he made, that's when he's chayev. Now we clarify the difference in opinion. Mando Amar Yad, Kol Shekein Tipayren, the one who holds that if his hand gets stopped when it runs across, he's going to be chayev, for sure, his fingernail, whereas Madar Mutipyran Aval Yad Loi, but the one who holds that his fingernail has to get stopped by the crack, he wouldn't be chayiv if his hand runs across the crack and gets stopped. That's because a fingernail is less sensitive to cracks than skin, and therefore the crack needs to be bigger in order for the fingernail to get stuck, as opposed to skin, which will get stuck in a smaller crack. So therefore, the fingernail Mando Amar would not be machayiv for a crack that the skin gets caught in. Continue to talk about breaking bones. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Trehoin Amri, both Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon Lakish say, Lo Oilam Inu Chayiv Ad Sheish Bar Etzem Sheshal Basar Umi Makam Basar. A person's not chayiv until he breaks a bone that has meat in a place where the meat is. Rabbi Yaakov Racha Amar, he says that Shmuel Barabba Bai, Shmuel Barabba asked on this, Me'ato, now that you're saying that, then the person would never be chayiv for breaking a bone until he takes a stone and smashes it. Because let's say he takes a knife and he cuts through the meat and then cuts through the bone, he wouldn't be chayiv for that, according to what we just said, because there's no meat precisely in that place where he's cutting with the knife. And the only way to be chayiv for breaking a bone would be to take a big rock and smash it on top of the meat. And so now the bone underneath the meat cracks, then he could be chayiv, which is very unlikely, and therefore wouldn't hold like this. We continue. The pasuk says etzem, namely a bone is not only broken. What do we learn from here? L'chayiv call etzem ve'etzem. We're mechayiv him for every single bone that he breaks. It's a separate lav. That's because it doesn't say atzamos. It says etzem. Now hadad the tamar, the chiddush in this is b'hasroya achas, that even if he just got one warning, don't break a bone, and he breaks multiple bones, he's chayiv separate lav for each. Avol m'shtei asroyos, if he got two separate warnings, shekein afilu etzem echad v'shavroy v'chaz v'shavroy chayiv shtayim. In this situation, even if it's just one bone that he broke once and then he got another warning, then he broke it again, of course he's going to be chayiv too. So the whole chiddush that we just said before, that he's chayiv for breaking multiple bones, is if he had even only one hasra, but he broke multiple bones, he's going to be chayiv for each one of those breakings. Now we ask a question on our original understanding of Shitas Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yirmi Abai, Las Hadal Pliga Rav Shimon Lakish, isn't our Mishnah not like Rish Lakish? Rav Shimon Lakish, Amai Rish Lakish, has said previously, Etzem Shein Olav Basar Mutal Shavrai, that a bone that doesn't have meat on it is 100% mutter to break, no problem. Where Samachayon Bez on top, Loy Amar El Shalay Yilke. Our Mishnah, when it talks about breaking a bone in a Tomei Karban Pesach, it says he's not going to get Malkus. But that's Mashma, Halesar, Usur. In regards to Isur breaking a bone, it's still Usur. He's not going to get Malkus for breaking it, but it's still Usur. But according to Rish Lakish, it shouldn't be Usur at all. It's 100% Mutter. So it seems our Mishnah is not like Rish Lakish. Now we continue discussing this part of the Mishnah. It said, Avoham Moiser B'Tahar, if somebody leaves over meat on a Tar Karban Pesach, Vashoiver B'Tomei, or if he breaks a bone of a Tomei Pesach, Inu like Arbaim, he doesn't get Malkus. Now if Oven says B'Sher Blazar, Masnisa, what's the Mishnah referring to? That he doesn't get Malkus for breaking a bone on a Tomei Pesach, that's Kishabba B'Toma, when the Pesach in the first place started out as Tomei, Mishar Rishayna from the beginning, Avol and Baba Tahara. But if it started out Tahar, Venitma, and then it became Tomei, Kibaba Tahara, it's like a case of Baba Tahara, Veloikan Al Shvirasai, and then he will get Malkus for breaking that bone, even though currently the Karban Pesach is Tomei, since it started out Tahar, he's still gonna get Malkus. Now the Gemara brings something that we already had before, and it's really only just a lead up to the next question that we're gonna ask. So Mas Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Rabbi Yechon asked Rish Lakish, and we learned in the Mishnah that the bones gidim and nicer, they're burned on the 16th. But I have a question, Yerush Lakish, that if according to you, it's mutter to break a bone of the Pesach if it doesn't have meat on it, so why should the bones be burned on the 16th? V'yakot, let him just cut or crack or break the bone on Yontif itself, take out all the marrow. Now the marrow's not nicer because he's able to eat it, and the bone doesn't have to be burned. So Yerush Lakish responded to him, Nei Mayach, no, it's because of the marrow, meaning you misunderstood my shita. I hold that since there's marrow inside the bone that could be eaten, that's actually considered like meat, which Mamela creates an iser to break the bone, so therefore you're not allowed to break the bone if it has marrow. Now we understand from here that if the bone does not have marrow in it, then it is allowed to be broken according to Rish Lakish. And so here's where the main question comes in. If that's really so, v'yachloitz basar min ha'etzem, let him peel the meat back from the bone, v'yakot, and let him cut it. Now this really has to do with the very next halacha, which we're going to be doing in just a minute, so here's a little sneak preview about what it's talking about. The Mishnah discusses that it's aser to bring the Karban Pesach outside the walls of Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, and any part of the Pesach which is brought outside Yerushalayim has to be burned. So let's say a bone with meat partially went outside the wall. The Mishnah discusses how he basically has to cut off whatever meat went out. That has to be burned. And then he has to peel back the skin and the meat that did not go out of the wall all the way until the joint, and then take out the entire bone, half of it which went out, half of it which stayed inside Yerushalayim, and then the entire bone has to be burned. Now we can understand this question on Rish Lakish, since according to him, a bone that doesn't have marrow is allowed to be cracked and broken. Why does Mishnah say that we have to burn the entire bone even though only part of it went out? Just cut that part of the bone off and we're perfectly fine. And the answer is, you're right, technically that's okay. However, the chashash is, shloil fakeh tachas habasar, we're afraid that he's going to end up breaking the bone that's underneath the meat. In other words, technically, if we could be 100% assured of a nice, clean, smooth cut of the bone, where the only part of the bone that he's cutting is that which went outside the wall, so fine. But since that's very difficult to achieve, perhaps impossible, our fear is that when he's cutting the part of the bone that went outside the wall, he's going to accidentally crack part of the bone that's not puzzle, and then that's an issue, and he's going to be chayv malchus for that, even according to Rish Lakish. So therefore, we just have to take out the whole bone and burn it. And with that, moving right into Halacha Yud Beis, the Mishnah says, Eiver Shiyatim Ktsasoi, a limb of the Karban Pesach that partially went out of the wall of Yerushalayim. Let's say he has an apartment right on the wall of Yerushalayim. He's inside. He wants to get some nice fresh air, so he leans on the windowsill, holding onto part of the Karban Pesach, and he wasn't paying attention, and that bone with some meat on it partially went outside the window, which means it's outside the wall, and so it's puzzle. What does he do? Chaytech ach magil etzem. He cuts all the meat that went outside the wall up until he reaches the actual bone. That meat has to be burned, and then v'koylef ach magil aperek. He has to peel it back all the way until he reaches the perek, which is the joint. That's where this bone joins with another one. The meat that he peeled back is allowed to be eaten, and then what does he do v'chaytech? He cuts this bone from the joint, and then he takes the bone itself, the whole bone, and he burns it. And that's as we had just explained right before the Mishnah. Since he can't chop the bone in half, he has to take the whole bone, even the part that didn't go outside the wall, and burn it. Now, this is all with the Karban Pesach. However, Uvim Mukdashin, with other Kadshim, with other Karbanos that have a psol of Yotze, that's what it's called, they're not allowed to go out from where they're supposed to be. So certain things have to stay inside the Beis Mikdash, other things have to stay within Yerushalayim. If they had this psol of Yotze, they went out from where they're not allowed to, partially. Koitzitz Bekaifetz, he could cut it with a meat cleaver, She'ain Ben Shriyosa Etzem, because with other Kadshim, there's no Isser of breaking bones, only with the Karban Pesach. Now, the question is, where's the psol of Yotze from? We have the wall, let's say the wall of Yerushalayim, but then there's also the thickness of the wall. The wall wasn't paper thin. There's some sort of thickness to it. There's also a door that opens and closes that's part of the wall. So where's considered out and where's considered in? That's what the Mishnah tells us. Min ha'agaf vilafnim kilafnim, min ha'agaf vilachotz kilachotz. So the agaf more or less is the doorway. It's officially translated as the door jam, but it's basically the area of the wall where the door is. So let's just imagine the door being closed. Any thickness of the wall which is still there towards the inside is considered inside, and any thickness of the wall which is still there towards the outside is the outside. So let's say, for example, the wall is a foot and a half thick and the door is only 6 inches thick and situated right in the middle of the wall. That means mina agaf lefnim is half a foot, and that means mina agaf lechutz is also half a foot. And the Gemara is going to discuss what about the place taken up by the door itself. And lastly, hachalonis v'aviachayma kilefnim, any windows that are in the wall or the thickness of the wall itself, meaning the top of the wall, that's all considered like the inside of the wall, not outside. Now the Gemara brings something up which is going to have relevance to the Mishnah. Rav Simon quotes Rav Shub and Levi, who says b'shem bar pedaya hapigel v'hanoiser mitstarfel l'tamas haydaim agadei oinchen bekezayis pigel hanoiser, which are two types of psulim by kachim. They're mitstarfel mitame a kohen's hands to the oinish of a kezayis. This is exer d'rabbanon, the meat of pigel is going to mitame a kohen's hands. That's because let's say a kohen is upset at the baal, at the owner who's bringing the carbon, wouldn't want this kohen to tell himself, ha, I'm going to get this guy and I'm going to be mafagel the carbon. I'm going to have a thought that I'm going to do something chutzlas manoi and passel it because of pigel, and now I'm going to mess him over because he's going to have to bring another carbon. So in order to prevent that, we say that any meat of a pigel carbon is metame the kohen's hands, and the kohen doesn't want to metame his hands. And nicer is a different gzera. We want to be mezarz the kohen. We want them to be hurried in eating the meat, not to leave any kodshim over. And therefore we say that if meat becomes nicer, it's metame his hands. And we say until the onshav kezayis, usually tomah is bekebetsa. The chiddush is it's metame bekezayis. Now the question is maushi pasla betruma. What about these things pasling truma? Namely, if pigel or nicer meat itself touches truma, is that going to pasle the truma or no? So my answer is kavu chaymer. We have a simple kavu chaymer. If, as we just said, pigel or nicer meat is going to be tame kohen's hands, which mela means that now that his hands are tame, if he touches truma, he's going to pasle the truma. Well, then hein atzman like kol shekein. Wouldn't we say that they themselves are for sure going to pasle truma? That's right now we're holding pigel or nicer. If they themselves touch truma, are going to pasle it. So now we have another question. Hahein yotze. What about meat that was brought out from where it's allowed to be? For example, karm pesach being brought outside Yerushalayim. Ma'at avadle. How do you treat it? Matame seidaim or in matame seidaim? Does this meat, if it's touched by a person or by a kohen, is it going to be mitamei's hands or no? Here's the original answer, sach vav amalaf on top, in tamer hain yotze mitamei's yadayim. If you want to say the meat which has a psul of yotze is mitamei yadayim, then pigle v'noiser ain't on paslin betruma. We would have to say that pigle and noiser actually do not pasl truma if the pigle and noiser itself touches truma. And the flip side is true as well, in tamer pigle v'noiser paslin betruma, we take out the word ainon. If you're going to say that pigle and noiser do pasl truma, like we originally suggested, so then hain yotze loigaz or olive kolom. Then in the case of yotze, there's no gzera on it, and it's not going to be matami adayim. The like him, because if we don't say that, meaning if we're going to say both, that yotze is matami adayim, and the pigle and noisar apostles truma, so in yitma tzara chitza in tzara pnimi, we should say the part that went outside is matami the part that went inside, because if you're going to say both, that the psul of yotze is matami adayim, and that when something has this derabonim psul, it apostles truma, or by that same token, other kudshim meat, so in the case of psul of yotze, we should never have the case that the Mishnah says. What does the Mishnah tell us? If part of a bone of karban pesach or other meat went outside, only the meat that went outside is pasul, but the meat that's inside is still fine. Why would that be? If the part that went outside is pasul enough to be matami a person's hands, and it's also going to be pasul truma or pasul other kachim, so that means that the part that went outside, which is also touching the part that's still inside because it's on the same bone, should be matami the part that's inside, and even the part that's still inside should be usur to eat. So it has to be that these are mutual exclusive, and then we have to choose. Either we have a psul of yotze, that's matami adayim, but then we would also have to say that it's not matami other meat, and if we're going to say that it's matami other meat, then we would have to say the psul of yotze is not matami adayim. However, Amar Rav Avin says that's not necessarily true, because mine is like davar tamei machmas atzmai. Who's the one who holds that someone could become tamei because of itself? Namely, if part of it becomes tamei, since the other part of it is touching the part that became tamei, it also now becomes tamei. Lawyer of Meir isn't the Rav Meir, and it's because Rav Meir holds of a concept called maga beis hastarim, that when we have something which is hidden and it's touching something else in a hidden place, those two things could become tamei, and that's exactly what we have over here. We have a whole bunch of meat on one bone, only part of that meat went outside, so the part that has a psul of yotze is pasul, or tamei if you will, and it's touching the part which is kosher in a way that's called beis hastarim, because really the meat is all one contiguous piece on the bone, and we're not able to clearly see the tamei versus the tahar part, and therefore we're suggesting that the tamei part is going to be metamei the tahar part, that has to be only according to Rav Meir, who again holds that maga beis hastarim is metamei, whereas the chacham who don't hold that, we don't even have this question, and therefore these two psulim would not be mutually exclusive, and we could say both of them. So Gemara says not so quick. Didn't Rabbi Yochanan say kol advarim tahirim beruban kimu shechitech ruban lav keparashu? Anything which is majority tahar, once majority was cut, it's considered like it's parish, like it's separated, and then we're back to the issue of yehi kimagiyeh bai yehi pasul. It should be like it's touching and it's pasul. In other words, Gemara is saying that even according to Rabbi Yochanan, meaning even according to Chachamim who argue with Rav Meir and hold the maga beis hastarim is not metame, we still have a way that the meat that has psul yotze could pasul the meat that doesn't have the psul yotze by touching it. How is that? Well, as we had suggested in the Mishnah, that we have to cut away all the meat that has the psul of yotze, and once the majority of that meat is cut away, so we have a nice thick slab of meat, let's say, which is almost completely detached from the bone because it has the psul of yotze, so now halachically it's considered like completely detached, so there's no beis hastarim anymore. It's considered like it's not touching at all, but since physically we see that it is touching, it should be metame it, because now this meat that was yotze, which again we're saying has the ability to pasul kudshim, now could pasul the meat that wasn't yotze. And therefore, we're back to our original suggestion that not only in Shitas Rav Meir, but also according to those who argue with him, we have to say these two things are mutually exclusive, and either we're going to say that pigle and noiser, or any kachim that are matami yadayim, they don't have the ability to pasul truma or any other kachim, and then maybe we could say that psul v'yotze is matami yadayim, or if we're going to say that they are able to pasul other kachim and truma, then it has to be that whatever has a psul v'yotze is not matami yadayim. Then our Ruchanayu says, no, we have a different suggestion. B'machatech kol shehu mashlech, we could always suggest in the case of psul v'yotze, when he cuts the meat off of the bone that became pasul, he doesn't cut it off in one thick slab as we suggested before. He cuts it off a little by little and throws it away, and then we never have a situation where right of it is cut off, but it's still partially connected, and therefore we don't have a case where the meat that became pasul with this psul v'yotze is touching the meat that didn't go out in a way that it could pasul it, and therefore there actually is a possibility according to this the meat could become tamei in order to pasul hands, and it could even pasul kachim and truma if it touches it, and we still don't have a question on psul yotze. We're going to stop it for the day and pick up tomorrow continuing to explain the Mishnah. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.